you'd like to follow along, the scripture reading this morning will be John chapter 1, verses 1 to 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overtake it. Therefore, there was a man having been sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. There was the true light which cometh into the world and enlightens everyone. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has been ahead of me, for he existed before me.' For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him."
Keep your Bibles to the passage. Keep your Bibles open to the passage which Roy just read. Who is Jesus? Who is he? What should we regard him to be? Who did he claim to be? And does it really make any difference what we believe about him? As Roy read these words, you are well aware that these words are so deep, so profound, that no 35-minute sermon can adequately convey all that is here. But we do want to look at this profound passage. This profound passage, and get a grasp of who he is. The text begins, "In the beginning." In the beginning was the Word. Now, there's only one other book of the Bible that begins with the words, "In the beginning." In Genesis 1, in verse 1, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the waters, and God said, 'Let there be light.' And there was light. In the beginning, God." But in the beginning, the text says, was the Word. Verse 2 reemphasizes this. He was in the beginning with God. Jesus has always been. He had no beginning point. He has always been. He is dependent upon none for his existence. There's a statement in John 8 where Jesus said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he has seen it. And they said, you're not 50 years old. Have you seen Abraham? And Jesus said in John 8, 58, before Abraham was, I am. The Word was in the beginning. The Word was with God. He was with God. He was in the most intimate relationship with God. In John 17, verse 5, Jesus will pray, now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, which the glory I had with you before the world was. Before the world was, before time as we know it began. The Father and Son were in perfect fellowship. Glorify me together with yourself with the glory with which I had with you before the world was. To be in someone's bosom is to have an intimate relationship with them. Remember, John reclined upon the bosom of Jesus in John 13 and verse 23. But look at what the text says in verse 18. It tells us that the only begotten God is in the bosom of the Father. He is in the bosom of the Father, the closest, the most intimate relationship with Him. The Word was in the beginning. The Word was with God. And the text tells us the Word was God. Now, I put the term is here because this is not something Jesus just was, but Jesus is. He continues to be God. I want us to see, and I'm trying to stress this morning, verses from the Gospel of John. We will incorporate some other passages, but I'm trying to stress verses from John. Notice how this point, which is affirmed in John 1 verse 1 about Jesus being God, Jesus is separate from the Father. He is with God, but He is fully God at the same time. I want us to see how this is a point of contention throughout the Gospel of John. Look in John 5, verses 17 and 18. The context is that Jesus has healed a man on the Sabbath. He has said to a man who has been lame for 38 years, arise, take up your mat and go home. And he did it. Jesus healed him on the Sabbath day. In verse 17 of John 5, he answered them, my Father is working until now, and I myself am working. For this reason, therefore, the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because he was not only breaking the Sabbath, but also was calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Here, they want to kill him because he was making himself equal with God. The Word was God. Look at John 8 that we've already referred to. John 8, verses 58 and 59. Jesus said to them, truly I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. I am. Remember when Moses was at the burning bush and Moses says, what is your name? And God's answer, I am who I am. In Exodus 3, 13 and 14, this is how God revealed himself to Moses at the burning bush, the God who delivered Israel out of Egyptian bondage, Jesus says, truly I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. Notice verse 59. In verse 59, therefore they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Why did they pick up stones to stone him? Because if Jesus is not correct here, if Jesus is not God, then Jesus is guilty of blasphemy. I can remember as a younger person one time, I was told criticisms of a certain thing. They just have a low view of Jesus. And it was something I had seen. And it said, oh, Jesus was a very good man. And I thought, it didn't criticize Jesus. As I grew and understood more, and that was probably before my accountability, as I grew and understood more, I realized that to claim that Jesus was just a good man and that Jesus was a great teacher isn't true. If what Jesus said about himself was false, and he said more than he was a good man or a great teacher, but that he was God come in the flesh before Abraham was born, I am. Look at John 10. In John 10, verse 30, Jesus said, I and the Father are one. In verse 31, the Jews picked up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered, I showed you many good works from the Father. And for which of them are you stoning me? The Jews answered him, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy. Because you, being a man, make yourself out to be God. Good. John 19, verse 7. In John 19, verse 7, and we're only told what we're about to read in the Gospel of John. This is in the crucifixion. This is in Jesus' trials before Pilate. And we have seen constantly in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we have seen Pilate wanting to release Jesus and the Jews demanding his crucifixion. But in John 19, 7, one of the things that they said, we have a law, and by that law he ought to die because he made himself out to be the Son of God. My point is, the first verse of John claims that the Word was God. All through the book of John, there is constant dispute. Is this true? Is Jesus who he really claimed? But you also remember, there's another passage I want to mention. A passage in which Jesus appeared to his disciples and Thomas was there. Thomas, who hadn't believed the earlier reports of his resurrection. And Jesus said to Thomas, put forward your finger and put it in my hand and put your hand into my side and be not unbelieving but believing. And in John 20 verse 28, Thomas fell and said, my Lord and my God. Thomas's confession affirms the truth that we've seen since John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word is responsible for everything in our world. in verse 3, all things came into being through him. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. That is such a simple sentence. It first affirms the positive in universal terms. All things came into being through him. And then it states negatively, apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. He is the creator of all. The book of Isaiah in 40 through 48 particularly highlights how the Lord is creator of all. In that section, in Isaiah 40 through 48, the Lord's creation of all demonstrates that he is superior to all the idols that the people's hands have made. Now, I want you to listen to this passage. Isaiah 44, 24. Thus says the Lord, Yahweh, thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, topic that Ryan was mentioning, and the one who formed you from the womb, I the Lord, am the maker of all things, stretching out the heavens by myself and spreading them out all alone. Yahweh, the true God, the Lord, and he alone created everything. But John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, or through him, excuse me. And apart from him, nothing came into being. My point is Jesus is fully Yahweh. Jehovah, as the American Standard Version said it, he is fully God. Actually, all of these things can be seen as claims to deity. Touching upon some things briefly in the passage, look at verse 4. We could certainly emphasize more. In him was life. In Jesus was life. He was dependent upon no one for life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the resurrection and the life. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 8 and verse 12. In him was light, and the light was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it, did not overwhelm it, understand it. All different translations there. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. And he came as a witness, to bear witness of the light, like other prophets before him. John, as a prophet, is calling attention to Jesus. He came to bear witness to the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light. John was not that light. But he came to bear witness of that light. And that light, coming into the world, enlightens every man. Our world is ugly enough. I shudder to try to even think what it would have been like had the true light never come. That light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world. Now think about this statement. Verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. He created everything. the maker of the world, visits the world. He was in the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him, but as many as did receive him, to them he gave the power to become children of God. Now, let me say something in passing here. And if you can point out somewhere I'm wrong, I want to know about this. But I believe God's people as a whole in the Gospel of John are never called sons of God. We are called children of God. The term son in the Gospel of John is exclusively applied to Jesus. Again, if you find a verse that contradicts that, please let me know. But he gave the right to become children of God, even to all who call upon his name. Children who were born not of flesh nor blood nor man's will, but God's will. But I want you to recognize verse 14 and how profound it is. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word who was in the beginning, the Word who was with God, the Word who was God, the Word through whom all things were created, that Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus was not just a good teacher. He was not just a great man. He was God living as a man. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That word dwelt can be translated tabernacled. In the Old Testament tabernacle, when it was completed, you may remember that the glory of the Lord filled the house, and Moses was not able to enter in Exodus 40 and verses 34 and 35. The Word became flesh and tabernacled among us, and we saw his glory. We saw his glory. When the temple was completed, the glory of the Lord filled that house. For God was dwelling with man in the tabernacle, in the temple. And God is dwelling with man in the person of Jesus. God is dwelling with man. We saw his glory. Moses said, Lord, show me your glory. He said, no man can see my face and live. But when we open up the pages of the gospel and read about God becoming man in the person of Jesus, when we open up the book of Acts and see the apostles doing signs and wonders in the name of Jesus, or we see in the epistles the apostles speaking of the implications of the death and resurrection of Jesus, we are seeing his glory. We saw his glory. But think about the Word becoming flesh. We get the term incarnation, or say the term incarnation sometimes, actually from a Latin term that means in flesh. But to think about the God who is the fountain of living waters, as we studied today with Micah in Jeremiah 17 and verse 13. The God who's the fountain of living waters could say, "Give me a drink," or cry from the cross, "I thirst." John 19:28. The Lord, who does not become weary or tired, as Isaiah 40:28 says in John 4:6, he will become tired and sit down by the well. And Jesus, who is described in John 6 and verse 35 as the bread of life, after fasting 40 days, became hungry in Matthew 4:2, in Luke 4:2. What I'm trying to say is it is truly a concept beyond my ability to describe or conceive, that the Word, who was with God and was God, became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And John had cried out about Him, "This is He of whom I said, He who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for He existed before me." John was 6 months or so older than Jesus. From Luke 1, we find that. He was older than Jesus, but he says in verse 15, "He existed before me." He says that again in verse 30. "After me comes a man who has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me." That goes back to, in the beginning was the Word. He has always been. He will always be. In the beginning, John said, "He is greater than I, for He was before me. For of His fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus. No man has seen God at any time." Remember, Moses was told, "No man can see my face and live." We've already referenced that. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten. Now, some of your versions here in John 1:18 have "the only begotten Son." Some versions have "only begotten God." There is manuscript evidence for both. Some think the reading "the only begotten God" has more evidence because it is the more unlikely reading. But just to explain a little bit about your translations. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God, who is in the bosom of the Father, who is in the most intimate of relationships with the Father, He has explained Him. This Word, who was God and was with God and became flesh and dwelt among us, this Word reveals God. This Word reveals the Father. Look at John 6. John 6 in verse 46. "Not that anyone has seen the Father, except the one who is from God." He has seen the Father. Since Jesus has an intimacy with God that none of us have, that is unprecedented in human history, we should listen to what he says about God. Look at John 14, verses 8 and 9. In John 14, 8 and 9, Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough." And Jesus said, "Have I been with you so long? Have I been so long with you, and you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" The idea that there was tension between the Father and the Son, or that the loving Son came to break down the wrath of the Holy Father, those are foolish ideas. The Father, the Son, and even though not under discussion in John 1, 1 through 18, the Spirit, are in perfect agreement, perfect harmony. They are one. And Jesus could say, "Who has seen me has seen the Father." He has seen the Father. He is God living among men. He has explained the Father. And certainly, if God spoke, everyone would listen. In verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. In John 3, verse 19 through 21, the light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. The one in whom was life, the one in whom was light, has shined in our dark world, but some have preferred darkness to light. The maker of the world, the creator of all, in verse 3, in verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. The maker of the world entered the world in the person of Jesus of Nazareth, and most of the world did not recognize its maker. In verse 11, he came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. Certainly, this one who was in the beginning, who was with God, who was God, who went to such great lengths to reveal himself to us and to reveal God to us, should be listened to by all. But he's not. But verse 12 and 13 does say, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Some will listen, some will receive. They have the right to become children of God. Paul, in contrast to John's gospel, regularly used the term Son of God for people. And he says, "For you're all the sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Galatians 3, 26 and 27. Do you believe this message? Do you believe the truth of who he is? I beg you, don't reject it. Don't let it be said of you that you did not know him. Receive it. Become children of God. Be baptized into Christ as we stand and as we sing.